Hello and welcome to The Laydown, a podcast where three booksellers from Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, New Hampshire chat about all things literary. My name is Ryan.
I'm Hillary.
And I'm Kelso.
All right, let's talk about what we've been reading since our last episode. Who's read something good?
I read There, There by Tommy Orange, which is our book club book. And what a terrific book this is. It's not very long, so it's easy to read. It is a book written by a Native American who grew up in Oakland, and this is about being a Native American in an urban setting. But it has a wonderful plot line that takes this bunch of different characters and is driving them all to the denouement where they all end up at the same powwow where this big thing happens. It is a very quick read. The characters are compelling. I learned so much about what it is to be a Native American in America in these days, but it's also just extremely well written and the kind of book where you're not distracted easily from it. You want to keep reading it and you want to know what happens. So They're There by Tommy Orange, terrific book. Has wound up on many people's best of lists this year, and I bet we'll get some big prizes.
What about you, Kelso?
All right, so I am reading The New Me by Haley Butler. It's a very quick read. It's only like 200-something pages. This is actually my second time reading this book, because after I finished it, I immediately had to read it again. It is my staff pick for May. It is about a 30-year-old woman named Millie who is working a dead-end temp job, and she doesn't know whether she likes it or not, and now she has to make a decision whether or not she wants to make the jump to a full-time permanent position. That's the entire plot of the book.
Nice.
I absolutely love it. It's a long character study about a 30-year-old woman who is not very happy with her life. She's very grumpy. She has, like, self-effacing issues. She doesn't shower. She always, like, her house is a mess. She broke up with her boyfriend of 4 years a little over 3 months ago. She hasn't been touched physically in over a year. And she kind of just starts to spiral. But it's hilarious and dark, and it reads like my diary.
Nice.
Because I am a grumpy, cold, black-hearted woman myself, and I have been in a temp job before. So that's what I'm reading. And then tonight I'm going to start Bel Canto by Ann Patchett. I listened to a podcast episode called Criminal, and they were talking about Stockholm Syndrome. So now I want to read all of the books about Stockholm Syndrome that I possibly can. There's not a lot out there. But when I was researching books about Stockholm Syndrome, I came up with Bel Canto, and I've never read Ann Patchett before, and I guess she's one.
Oh, it's a wonderful book.
She's awesome. So I can't wait to read that.
One of the books I just picked up is the new Joelle Charbonneau book. It's called Verify. It's due out in September. She is the author of the Testing Trilogy, which came out a little bit after The Hunger Games and was a very similar premise, dystopian thing, but instead of focusing on violence the way The Hunger Games does, it focuses on intelligence. You have to pass these different tests, and if you do, you get this, like, cushy government job, and you're, like, safe, it's great, your family is provided for, and it's awesome. No one really talks about the people who fail the tests. They just disappear.
Oh.
And so the main character, her dad had gone through the testing, because it's only, like, a few people from each graduating class are selected. So it's not like everyone goes through it. And her dad had gone through it, and so he had taught her these things, because you're not allowed to talk about it, but he sort of just in their day-to-day life would kind of teach her things. So she's very street smart in addition to being book smart. And so she's the type of person who walks into a room and immediately looks up to see if there are cameras. And she has intelligence on a few different levels. Mm-hmm. And so she gets selected for the testing, and she starts to go through the test, and she starts to question the system. And it's a trilogy that is totally like The Hunger Games, rise up against the government, like the government is lying to you. I loved it. I loved it more than The Hunger Games, and I really liked The Hunger Games. But I loved that it focused on being smart and, like, that your smarts and your wits will save you. I loved that. And I love where the story goes. And she, this author, Joelle Charbonneau, has written a few other books as well that I've really enjoyed. So I'm looking forward to this one. It's called Verify, and it takes place in supposedly a world without lies, but then there's a murder and the main character has to start asking questions and she's not getting the answers that she should be getting. And so all of a sudden she's like awakened to lies.
This is the same plot as Golden State by Ben Winters. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which, by the way, Golden State is a wonderful, noir mystery dystopian novel that came out a couple months ago by Ben Winters, who did The Last Policeman trilogy.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited for this one. She dedicates it to Rachel Maddow. She says, for Rachel Maddow, who points to the past when searching for answers to the present and future, and for all journalists who refuse to stop asking questions.
Yeah, and I suspect that one reason there's more than one book on this topic, and there's another one I can't think of right now that is similar. Yeah.
It's a trope, for sure.
Yeah, because of fake news, right?
Right, right. And so it's all about finding the real truth. So that I'm excited for. That comes out in September. And the other one I'm reading, actually, Elizabeth, our events coordinator, talked about it in the previous episode. It's called Sorcery of Thorns. It's by Margaret Rogerson. It's due out, I believe, next month. I think it's coming out in June.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's just a great adventure involving librarians and grimoires, which are books that are alive because they're full of spells and... It's just delightful. It's just so much fun. I'm really, really enjoying that. And I also just finished an audiobook called A Noise Downstairs by Linwood Barclay on Libro FM. And that was just a really good psychological thriller. It's about a guy who starts hearing sounds in his house, and it starts to drive him crazy. Like, the paranoia builds up, and it's awesome. There's some twists and turns, and it's really good. So that's what I've been reading. So let's talk about Uplit. Uplit is this term that has started circulating through the book world.
Mm-hmm.
It stands for uplifting literature. And this is a thing that I think we've been seeing more and more of in the past few years. So, you know, in the book world, we have trends. We have, you know, the dystopian novels. We have the psychological thrillers. We have, you know, the romance novels that they sort of take a spike, right? One gets really, really popular, and then you see all these others come out, mm-hmm. and they kind of spike up, and we have these trends. And right now, it seems like Uplit is the latest one that's coming out. You've got your uber popular uplifting novels like A Man Called Uwe by Frederick Bachman. You've got Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine by Gail Honeyman. These books are super popular right now, and they're just nice. They're nice books. They're sweet. They have sweet stories. And they're books where there's very little conflict, and the conflict that's there isn't super dark. It's just sort of day-to-day conflicts. They usually have a small cast of characters. Often there's quite a bit of humor in them. They're grounded in reality, so they're not fantasies or sci-fis typically, but it's not our reality.
Right.
It's not, you know, America in 2019. It's sort of these, like, pockets of our reality. They're just feel-good reads. They kind of remind me of, like, the rom-com genre mm-hmm. of movies. And I think the reason that we're seeing these come out, and I'll have you guys talk about this too, but in the current state of our world, it's a lot of people consider this kind of a dark time. And we have two responses from the literary world. We have the resurgence because it never went away, of dystopian literature. People are rereading Handmaid's Tale, which, if you haven't read Handmaid's Tale, it's a dystopian novel in which the majority of women in America have lost the ability to conceive. And those who still can have children are kidnapped and sold into a very specific type of slavery where they're called handmaids and they are stripped of their entire lives, including their names, their families, their clothes, everything. And they're trained to work for wealthy families who want children, where it's literally their entire job to take care of the household and bear children with the man of the household. Margaret Atwood actually recently announced that she's writing a sequel to this. So again, this
it's
is
coming out in September.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, this fall it'll be here. So again, these types of things have kind of come back into the forefront of literature. So we've got, you know, books like that. We've got books that are tackling racism or misogyny or equality that are very, very popular right now. And then on the other hand, we have these really sweet books that are just like, you just want to read something sweet and nice and kind. And I think that's so interesting that we have these two responses from the literary world. So I don't know if you guys wanted to talk about that a little bit and what you have witnessed as my fellow booksellers.
Yeah. We get asked for these a lot. Yeah. We were talking about this before. One of the problems with these books is when you describe them to people, the plot seems so slight that they say, I don't know. Mm-hmm. In a funny way, it's hard to sell, except to say, I think you'll come out of it smiling.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I have a favorite one of these, which is The Trouble with Goats and Sheep by Joanne Cannon, which is this lovely book that focuses on two little girls in the 1970s in a housing estate in England, in a poor community, where a woman has gone missing, and they decide they're going to find her. And the way they're going to find her is they've heard in church that God sees everything. So if they can find God, they're going to ask God. Now, I am an agnostic. I am not into books that are about religion. But this is a lovely book that's told from this very innocent point of view. And there's a lot of stuff that's happened in this community over the years that everybody else knows about that these little girls don't understand. But through their eyes, you come to understand what has been going on. And it is just lovely. And book clubs really adore this book. So I will recommend that as one of these. But when I describe it to people, very often they say, yeah, no, next.
Yeah.
That book you just described reminds me of this book I read called The Extraordinary Journey of Vivian Marshall by Shannon Kirk. She's one of our local authors. We had her here for an event a while back for a different one of her books. And it's about a woman who, she's in a coma, and she's probably not going to wake up from this coma. And she is visited in her coma by a childhood friend who's like, hey, I'm here to take you on a tour of heavens to help you decide what you want your heaven to look like. And so she gets to visit the heavens of people from her life. They can be close friends, they can be acquaintances. As long as she's met them, she can see their heaven. And so she goes on this little tour of heavens to like decide which one. And it's so cute.
Yeah.
It's so sweet. Yeah, I loved it. So yeah, that reminded me of that. Because same, I'm not, you know, a religious person, but I just loved that concept of just like, just very sweet.
Well, this book that I'm holding in my hand by Nancy Willard, Things Invisible to See, was written in 1982. It came out many years ago. And it also features religion. But it is just the sweetest book. And you're going to say, oh, this sounds like Field of Dreams. This came out before Field of Dreams, people. She was there first. It takes place during World War II, and there's this young woman who almost dies as a child from an illness. And she decides she's being called by the people to come across the river, her ancestors. Yeah. And she has a clock that turns, like there's like a cuckoo clock, but with the moons coming up. And she hears the clock tolling, and she decides to go back into her body to see the clock. But because she had passed over like that, she has second sight, and she can talk to beings beyond her world. And then she becomes paralyzed because she gets hit by a baseball that someone has thrown. But she becomes like the girlfriend of this guy who did this. And then he and his twin brother, the World War II is happening, and one of them is in very big danger. And it all comes down to a baseball game between Satan and Satan's team and these kids that are miraculously brought back to play this baseball.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
It is just lovely. And you would have to order this book. This is not a book you're going to find on the shelf in a bookstore, but this is definitely one of these kind of uplifting, books that you're going to smile at when it's over. And Ann Tyler blurbed it when it came out. So there's someone. So it's Things Invisible to See by Nancy Willard.
Nice. For ones that you will find in the bookshelves, and I think, Kelsey, you may have read this one. I can't remember. But The Storied Life of A.J. Vickery by Gabrielle Zevin is adorable. Every bibliophile, every book lover should read this book. A guy owns a bookstore. Someone drops a baby off on the top step, and he raises a little girl in the bookstore. That's it. That's the story. It's so cute. I love it so much. He is, like, completely unprepared to raise a child, but, like, he has the town to help him out, and it's just so cute. And I think he's also, you know, trying to make sure that his bookstore stays in business because it's a small bookstore on a very touristy island, but during the off season, it's very, you know,
quiet.
So, so you know, that's sort of like the main conflict, and it is just delightful.
Very nice.
Is such a delightful read.
And there are two authors I can think of right off the top of my head that basically you could pick up any one of their books and it's going to be uplit. And that is Alice Hoffman and Ann Tyler.
Yes.
Who write just delightful, sweet, not treacly books. They tend to be filled with these really flawed characters who do stupid things. And they're very funny often. And Alice Hoffman in particular also often incorporates a little bit of magical realism.
Yes. She has a book for kids called Nightbird that has some magical realism, and it's really beautiful.
Her big one, I think, was Practical Magic, which they made a movie out of. But there are others that I like better.
For me, this is really difficult because I don't read a lot of light lit, as most of you might know. When somebody asks me about something that's a bit more uplifting, I always try to go towards romance. And the one person that comes to mind as soon as somebody asks me is Nick Hornby. I really liked Fever Pitch. You know, I'm a huge baseball fan.
Nick Hornby. Like, that's a good one.
One Day was also really good. I cried through that book. Don't tell anybody. That's the one where they meet up the exact same day every single year. And it's written really well. There are a couple other ones I want to talk about. A Man Called Uwe, curmudgeonly old man. His wife has died. He thinks that he has nothing left to live for. Tries to commit suicide. But whenever he tries to do it in the book, the doorbell rings. And it's like the two little kids who live next door. And he's like, get off my lawn. Or, you know, he has this moment where he tries to kill himself in the garage. And then the cat comes into the garage. And he's like trying to shoo the cat out. And so it might not be as uplifting at those types of points, but it is such a great book, and it will make anybody smile. I love giving this to people. You know, Frederick Backman is a really wonderful writer. He lives in Stockholm, and he used to be a journalist, which I always thought was cool.
That book is so cute.
The other one that I really like, The 100-Year-Old Man Who Climbed Out the Window and Disappeared. Jonasson. It's the J's. So the J's sound like Y's. And there's actually a sequel, which is called The Accidental Further Adventures of the 100-Year-Old Man. And these books are really delightful. If you like caper books or books that go on kind of crazy, wonky adventures, this is a book for you. The main character's name is Alan Carlson. He lives in, like, a retirement home, and he just turned 100. On his 100th birthday, he climbs out of his window with all of this pocket money and tries to see how far he can get with just the money in his pocket. And then just hilarity and, like, adventures abound. He meets an elephant. He steals a suitcase with a bunch of money in it, and criminals are on his case. It also has kind of this Forrest Gumpy vibe because you start to learn about his entire life, and he is kind of always there in the background of all of these really important events in the last 20th century. It's a wicked popular book.
So that's, you know, the uplifting literature. And then the other kind of side of this, the other kind of response to this, in addition to the sort of dark things that come out, right, there's lots of horror that comes out. There's lots of, like, dark fantasies that we've seen published recently. But there's also a lot of sort of, like, activism-centered books and things like, so in the young adult genre, we have The Hate U Give came out recently. Do huge, huge hit that talks about racism and gun violence, and is very, like, unapologetic in its story. A black kid is killed by a cop, and that's how it opens. But then you also have books for, I have an almost two-year-old, and our little library at home is filled with books like Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls, which is all stories of women from history that you probably have never heard of. And they're these little one-page bios of these, of all of these women who did all of these really cool things in history that I didn't know most of them. Some of them I knew. We've got that. We've got a book, or a little series, actually, of board books called Feminist Baby by Lauren Brantz. And they're very sweet board books. They're for babies. It's a little baby who's an activist. And these babies are so cute. And our favorite page, Feminist Baby Likes to Dance. Feminist Baby Says No to Pants. Like, they're very sing-songy. They're very cute, but they're awesome. They're all about, like, you know, stand up for yourself. You know, equality is great and feminism is awesome. There's a book called Red, A Crayon Story by Michael Hall.
Oh, I love
it. It's a beautiful book that on the surface is about a crayon that has a wrapper on it that says red. Mm-hmm. And so the crayon keeps trying to draw red things like apples, and they just aren't coming out quite right, and the other crayons can't really figure out why it's not working. Well, it's because it's a blue crayon with a red wrapper on it. So the crayon is actually blue, and the crayon starts to draw the sky and the ocean and is so excited to be its true self. And so, yeah, on the surface, it's about a crayon that was labeled incorrectly, but it's actually about trans people and coming to terms with your true self and letting your true self out. And
it also has beautiful, hilarious illustrations.
Oh, it's
so
good.
I would like to point out.
Yes, it's a beautiful book.
Like the old, like the grandparent crayons in it are like little stubs of crayons.
It's like when you, like the old broken, like from the bottom of your crayon box. Like, it's so cute. And yeah, and it's about, you know, incorrect labels versus correct labels. And it's really, really sweet and beautiful, and it doesn't beat you over the head with it, but you can take that reading out of it. And then we also have my kind of recent favorite board book that I got is called Pride Colors by Robin Stevenson, which is a color book. It goes through the rainbow, but it's all about, you know, love is love, and mm-hmm. I'll love you no matter who you are. And it's really beautiful, and the artwork is photographs of LGBTQ families. Nice. So, you know, there's a lesbian couple, there's a gay couple, there's a couple of kids at, like, a pride parade. Mm-hmm. It's just very inclusive and very sweet. And so I really love that response to the current political climate as well, in that, like, we have sort of the uplit for the adults, mm-hmm. right? And we have the rage-inducing activism books for the teenagers. We've got the dystopian, you know, fight the power books. And then for the little kids, we've got, like, hey, here are some female heroes, and here are some books that teach you that it's okay to be different, and it's okay to be who you are, and, like, stand up for your fellow human, and, like, be kind. And I just am so here for it. I love it so much.
I want to mention in this context, there are also books, like I have an advanced reader copy here with me called Where the Lost Dogs Go, A Story of Love Search and the Power of Reunion by Susanna Charlison, who also wrote The Scent of the Missing and The Possibility of Dogs, which were bestsellers prior to this. And there's a bunch of books out now that are about, okay, what can you do in your own backyard to make things better? Mm. And this book is about simply about helping people find their lost pets. Mm-hmm. And it's about how important pets are to people. You know, there are people, their pets, that's their whole family. And when that pet goes missing, their life seems over. And this book, this woman trains dogs to do search and rescue, but then she began looking at what are the most effective ways to find lost pets. And this book is, every chapter has a wonderful story about a pet that got lost and got saved. Mm-hmm. And so much information about what you can do to help your neighbors and help yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, there are more and more books out like this that are sort of DIY, be a good person in the world.
Yeah. You know, it starts with us, right? It starts with you at home and making good choices. Yeah.
And being kind.
Being kind.
To other people and helpful for other people. It's also about the power of the internet to come together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is also important in terms of activism.
Yeah.
We can change the world, people.
You do. You have like the, these books make you fight, these books make you angry, and then you have these books help you escape. Mm-hmm. Just that's ignore true. The world for yes. a while. There's two sides to it, and I understand both. And yeah, people come in and they're like, I just want something nice. Cool, I have a list for you. Mm-hmm. And then other people are like pretty down with the dark, and they're down with the, yeah, I want to read a book that tackles, you know, racism or what have you. I'm like, yeah, all right, here we go, let's do this. Cool. So, coming events, Gibson's Book Club is reading Educated by Tara Westover on Monday, June 3rd at 5:30 p.m. Just a reminder that the book club is free and open to the public, so come on down, chat about Educated with us.
And it's 25% off.
And it's 25% off, which is awesome.
And that is also a very uplifting book, by the way.
Yes. Yes.
It's about a young woman who grew up out in the middle of nowhere, raised by parents who were basically end-of-the-worlders.
Mm-hmm.
And she was homeschooled. They wouldn't take the children to the hospital. Mm-hmm. They didn't let them have communication with just about anybody. And about how she broke away from her family and actually graduated from Oxford in England ultimately. But it's also about loving your family, even though.
Aww.
Yeah, it's nice. Actually, it's a beautiful book. Highly recommended.
Awesome. So come chat about that with us on June 3rd. The following week, Monday, June 10th at 5:30, we have the Open Discussion Project, where we'll be having a professionally moderated discussion about The Inclusive Economy, How to Bring Wealth to America's Poor by Michael D. Tanner. So that is, those are the first two Mondays of June. We have Book Club and then the Open Discussion Project.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a youth event on June 6th. Two New Hampshire authors, Amy McKechnie and Susan Carlton, will be chatting about their middle grade and young adult novels, The Unforgettable Guinevere St. Clair and In the Neighborhood of True. And one that I'm very excited about, June 9th, our very own local author, Virginia McGregor,
will be here.
She's got a new YA novel called As Far as the Stars, and I'm actually going to be interviewing her for our June episode when she comes for her event. So come to her event, and then a couple weeks later, listen to her interview on this podcast.
And talk about an uplifting writer.
She's the best.
What Milo saw, read that, people. Virginia McGregor.
Such a sweet story. Okay, you can see all of our upcoming events on our website, gibsonsbookstore.com. You can email us about the podcast at our new email address, thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. We'll put that in the show notes for you. And we're also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and we'll put those links in the show notes as well, along with all of the books we talked about today. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks.
Bye!
Bye!